Hello, and welcome to the Doc Talk Podcast. In mid-January of 2022, Mount Sinai Health System and Icahn School of Medicine announced the launch of the Institute for Airway Sciences, a multidisciplinary institute intended to establish new therapies for patients with sinus, laryngotracheal airway, and lung diseases. The institute is the first clinical and research collaborative of its kind in the United States, bringing together a diverse group of researchers, thought leaders, and clinicians to establish new goals for conquering airway diseases. The institute will be opened under the guidance of Dr. Eric Gendon, along with several clinical directors at Mount Sinai. Dr. Gendon, who led the first human trachea transplant, is no stranger to innovation. He spoke with us on how the Institute will encourage new ways of approaching airway diseases through collaboration, grants, and scholarships. The possibilities are limitless at the Institute for Airway Sciences, and Dr. Gendon is here to tell us why. So I'd like to start off with just paraphrasing a recent quote that Mount Sinai put up of yours, talking about how this decision was made on the basis of not the science of tomorrow, but the science of today. So I was wondering, could you speak to some of the changes in airway science that are happening today that inspired you to launch the Institute for Airway Sciences, and how events such as the world's first human trachea transplant, which you led, contribute to this decision?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, at the core or the essence of this is that there are a tremendous number of scientific discoveries that are made every day, and getting those from the laboratory to the patient to actually impact the patient's care is a long, arduous process. And I think there's something that we can learn from industry where they tend to cycle processes, ideas, concepts that are going to change the industry through very quickly, abandoning those that don't work and adopting those that do work. We need to do a little bit more of that in medicine and science. I think it's critically important that we're thorough and we're careful in the science and the innovation that takes place in the lab. But I also think it's critically important that we move it through as quickly as possible, because I think patients can benefit. In the case of the tracheal transplant, you know, this was research that I started 25, almost 30 years ago. And it was a long process to move it through. It required a series of laboratory experiments and re-experimentation and publications and so on and so forth, until finally we could get it to the clinic, to the patient. Now, admittedly, you know, the tracheal transplant probably could have been done back in 2008 or 2010, but for a bunch of other reasons, we were stalled. The Institute for Airway Sciences is really designed to take some of the most significant problems that afflict us, our patients, the ones we love, like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma, cancer, something as simple but significant as chronic sinus disease. Take these problems and some of the more, I think, complex diseases, and work to make a change and make an impact in those patients' care in an expeditious, you know, time period as possible. And that's really, you know, the underlying goal. That the way that we do this is that instead of having a research institute in one silo, a clinical institute in another, and then clinical trialists who are taking the science and kind of creating these trials, we're bringing them all together so that the scientists understand what are the problems that we're facing, and they can get to working with us on real pragmatic solutions.
Thank you. And I was hoping maybe we could expand on that idea of the community that's being built. Starting off with some of the multidisciplinary group of researchers that you might be working alongside, such as Dr. Charles Powell. Could you speak to that?
Right. So, you know, we each bring something very different to the table. Charles Powell, you know, his interests in his science, Monica Kraft, there's a large number, probably about 25 different people that are really very, very top in their field. But for a lot of reasons, we're not familiar with, you know, what each other is doing. We have transplant scientists that bring something very important to the table in terms of not only transplant science, but also immune and immunology and immune modulating mechanisms of the airway. We have stem cell researchers that bring a very significant skill set to the table in terms of healing and wound healing and regeneration of tissue. And so the idea here is that when you cross-pollinate, you start to realize that unfortunately we're very sequestered, and now we can take airway diseases. Dr. Powell's work, for example, and a lot of the researchers that are within the respiratory fields, looking at, like I said, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma. These are diseases that kill hundreds and thousands. But when's the last time that he spent some time with the immunologists, understanding the immune mechanisms and how, and as well as the pharmacologists, how do we create blockades to this? And are there stem cell therapies that we may be able to consider in patients that are born with genetic disorders? So that's basically what this is really all about. And it's about bringing them together to understand these problems, targeting the problems, and then moving them through very quickly to try to get them to the patient as fast as possible.
And in keeping with that idea of cross-pollination, I read that the institution will be promoting research and innovation through four distinct resource cores. I was hoping maybe you could talk about some of those, such as the Black Family Stem Cell Institute.
Right. When we put this together, we really asked ourselves who, you know, and what came to mind in terms of the type of people, the type of institutes that we would want to incorporate into this. Instead of creating an institute that's an island unto itself, we really have created this Venn diagram where there's a lot of crossover. And as I mentioned, stem cell science offers a tremendous amount in terms of disease management, tissue regeneration, and so on. The Institute for Transplant Sciences, tremendous opportunity there in terms of understanding immune mechanisms. You know, COVID is a great example of this. We talk about this disease and what it's done across the world, and yet probably the most dangerous part of this disease is not the actual virus itself. It's the immune response that humans have to this virus that they've never seen. So bringing these people together and these different cores, I think, is a great opportunity to ask each other questions. And many times we don't even know what the question should be. But when we each hear about what we're doing, it's, you know, quite interesting to hear other scientists take on how to solve the problem. And oftentimes it's very out of the box thinking. And that's what we want, is real creative thinking.
And I think you'll find a lot of creative thinking, I'm sure, when it comes to medical students, residents in training. And I think something's really interesting about the Institute is that it'll also be involved with creating new innovative projects with this collection of people. How is it going to go about doing that?
So, you know, the medical student issue is a very important issue. One of the best kept secrets is much of the innovation and discovery that has occurred through the history of science has been done actually by young students, young researchers, not the people that have already created in their mind a framework of ideas and how to approach a problem, but much more creative, boundary-less young investigators. And so we want to incorporate medical students and residents into this kind of, if you will, scientific think tank that has a constructive arm where we're actually not just doing the thinking, but doing the science with it. And so by incorporating young trainees and medical students, I think it's going to do what we're trying to do, which is create a very fertile, boundless program where people can ask the questions that we maybe have never thought of. And it harkens back to the fact that, you know, we talk about the tracheal transplant. You know, that was not attempted because for 100 years, there was a scientific dictum that you could not do it. There were problems related to the blood supply. It just wasn't, we couldn't put that organ into the human body. We didn't understand anything about it. But, you know, not being held up by that dictum and questioning that dictum, which I did as a medical student, is what ultimately led to, you know, a first in human procedure that may very well and hopefully will change the course of thousands and thousands of patients' lives in the future. That kind of thinking is really important. It's time to go at it with a clean slate. And who better to do that than medical students and residents? We're excited about this. I think that, you know, medicine tends to be very old school in terms of there's centuries and centuries of lore. And as I said, dictum. And I think, you know, we benefit when we stop, take a step back, wipe the board clean, and reapproach these problems with a fresh set of eyes. So I'm very excited about it. And hopefully I look forward to one day reporting to you some real significant improvements in the way we take care of patients as a result of it.
We'd like to thank Dr. Gendon for coming on the show, and thank you for listening. If you want more pulmonology news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back this Thursday with a new episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.